Welcome to Just Energy Radio with your host, naturopath and medical intuitive, Dr. Reed Louise. We have learned from Einstein's theory that matter and energy are one. Physicists believe that all systems in nature have their own particular way of vibrating, from the swinging of a pendulum to the waves of the ocean to the light that brightens the sky each day. Each of these oscillates at its own unique rate. The same holds true for every thought, feeling, event, or word we speak. Each has its own frequency or rate of vibration. What many of us don't realize is when we take everything in our universe down to its simplest form, it is all just energy. Join Dr. Reed Louise on a journey through time and space where past, present, and future collide. Today, what you believe may be called into question. What we want to know is, who made up the rules? Be brave and step outside the box. We are about to turn our world upside down and venture into the unknown. Hold on. We are departing our own beliefs and entering alternative realms. Enjoy the possibilities.
And welcome to Just Energy Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Reed Louise, and thank you all for tuning into the show tonight. We have a great show tonight. We're going to be speaking with Leo Lyons-Agami about his book, Pope Francis, The Last Pope. I have to tell you, I hope my mom's not listening or she's got her ears covered because I think we're going to be getting into some really juicy information. Ooh, and you know how much I love juice. Just Energy Radio is brought to you by soulhealer.com, where you can find out about all the products and services I offer, including medical intuition evaluations, energy healings, and psychic readings. So if you have things going on in your life, need some direction, need some guidance, or have some health concerns that you need some help with, give me a call or send me an email. We can set up a time for a private consultation. Also on the Soul Healer website, if you have not purchased your copy of Icon, Deconstructing the Archetypes of the Ancients, we actually have DVD copies available. If you purchase a copy of it, you can get a copy of my book, Man-Made, The Chronicles of Our Extraterrestrial Gods, and also Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4 at a greatly discounted rate. So basically, you would get buy two, get one free. It works out just about that way. The show is also brought to you by the Institute of Applied Energetics, where you can jumpstart your intuition today by downloading their free 50-page guide. That's www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com. Let me tell you a little bit about Leo and get him on the air. Leo Lyons-Agami is the grandmaster of the Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis, who are considered by many the good side of the Vatican Illuminati, as an official association and order now based in Florence, Italy. Zagami, who has been in the past involved with the production of documentaries for the English web TV Enigma TV, now appears regularly on the popular Italian TV show Mysterio on Italia One and in numerous conferences and seminars around the world. Again, his book is Pope Francis, The Last Pope, Money, Masons, and Occultism in the Decline of the Catholic Church. So please welcome Leo Lyons-Agami. Hey, Leo, how are you? Okay, Leo, did we lose you?
No. Oh. I'm here.
How are you doing, Leo?
I'm doing fine. I'm alive, I guess. No, I must be fine. I must be fine. I'm alive and kicking.
Well, that's good. We like people that are alive and kicking on that the show. Although we do shows about ghosts, and so sometimes we like them when they're dead and kicking, you know. But they can be lively as well. Bad joke. Sorry.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of people out there who act as zombies who are more or less living dead. Probably they don't have the awareness necessary to be alive. So we like to have the ones who are really alive on the show, mentally wise.
That's right. Good point. See, I'm liking you already, Leo. But I have to tell you, I don't know where to start. I have so many questions because this is like, ooh, there's like inside gossip on the Vatican and the Catholic Church. But let's start here. In your biography, you talk about how you are considered part of the good side of the Vatican Illuminati. See, I would say that name again, but I know I didn't say it right in the first place.
Sure. It's Latin, so it needs a pronunciation which is like Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis. This is like
that.
It's a bit more. Yeah, it's like the order of the Illuminati of the universe, basically. That's the translation in English.
Can you just kind of spend a little bit of time talking about your background and what that is?
The knighthood name.
You know, because when we hear Illuminati in the United States, you know, we just immediately go to conspiracy theories and you know, the New World Order. I mean, was that your role? Was that kind of what was going on with that group? And are you still part of it? You're back on. Did you hear my question?
The last part I missed, I must admit, because unfortunately, you see, it's really, we are lucky to get through to you tonight because it seems it's a little bit dodgy, this connection, but let's work through it.
Well, we're going to, and like I said, we're just going to like pray a little bit and hope God's on our side tonight. So we'll just send like some good mojo to God.
And well, it's, I hope there's not any Vatican sabotage because, you know, it's like always around the corner when you are treating these kind of subjects.
Well, you know, that thought did cross my mind, but I'm just going to, you know, send it up to the big G in the sky and just, you know, put out the good energy.
Absolutely.
But how did you become an insider? I mean, one, I didn't even know that there was like a Vatican Illuminati. Can you just kind of talk about that in general? Because I think in the United States, my listeners would find that concept fascinating.
Well, there is actually two Vatican Illuminati orders, which are quite public. Mine and also the Academy of the Illuminati, which is officially based in Piazza di Spagna, which is in the center of Rome, but is connected with the Jesuits. While instead, we are basically working alongside the good faction of the Vatican. Some members also of some important knighthoods, like the Knighthood of the Holy Sepulchre. For this reason, inside the book, as you have probably noticed, we have the witness of this important knight called Fortunato Luciano Sciandra, who is also a member of the Equestrian Order of St. Sylvester Pope and is a member of our Illuminati. The Illuminati of the Vatican basically are the elite squadrons, let's say, of their militias, of their intelligence, of their, let's say, also of their faith. But in my case, my order was actually born in Monte Carlo, in Monaco, in the Principality of Monaco in 1999. And it was only after 2008 when we kind of came out of what we call, let's call the New World Order setup, and we came back to Italy, that initially we resided in Rome, and now we are officially instead in Florence. Because we are working with, of course, some people which are good in the Vatican, but there is so much evil in Rome, which is difficult for us to keep the situation under control if we had our headquarters in Rome. And traditionally, the most illuminated minds are from Florence since the ancient times. As you know, Machiavelli comes from Florence. The prince is born out of a concept of power in Florence. And so basically the Illuminati is a cultural thing that puts together high-level members of Freemasonry, certain knighthoods within the Vatican, but also outside of the Vatican. We as an order, my own order, is quite transversal and quite also in good relationship also with the Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church. So often our work is requested when it comes down to diplomacy. It's maybe fascinating for people to know that there is Freemasonry in the Vatican, and it's even probably more fascinating for people to know that there is also Vatican Illuminati. But these orders exist because there is a necessity for certain secrets to be guarded by people who are very discreet and also that will not sell certain secrets for power or money. Because, as you can see from the nature of the book, the information comes from the inside of the Vatican. So we can really give a different perspective. And it's not really given to you because we want to necessarily make some money out of making a book, which, I mean, in the end, at the end of the day, can sell, but can't make a person a millionaire. Here we are talking about interest of billions and billions of dollars. So, of course, a book is nothing compared to this interest. We are bringing this book, me as an author and as president of this association, this order, which is the Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis, because we feel that this is the exact moment in time in which this has to be brought to the knowledge of the people. There is also an international network of secret societies that we sometimes collaborate with. Some others we are in open war with. There is a whole network of lodges, also of Freemasonry, known as the Ur lodges. Ur lodges are very secretive, they are transnational, they're very powerful. I mentioned them within the book Pope Francis, the Last Pope, because they also have some very powerful ones which have some members which might seem for the normal listener who is out there impossible even to grasp, no? Because we have, as in 2009, initiated al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, into the Hathor Pentalpha Lodge. People will just be shocked about some information of this kind. But this is true. And in my volume one of my confessions coming out in January, I also show documentation regarding the initiation of Osama bin Laden in the 70s in another important lodge. And then we have these knighthoods instead, Christian nature, of course, within the... The difference with the Nautilus is we don't have anymore the in the Christian side. I'm not talking about Islamic side, which is very fierce, still very very strong. Instead, in the Christian faction of the knighthoods, they have lost that martyrdom, that vote of which really should be obligatory when you arrive to that kind of level, to die for the Pope or to die for the Christianity concept. Nobody really wants to do that nowadays in Christianity. They just want to meet up for their interest. This puts the knighthoods in the Vatican at this moment in a very precarious situation when it comes down to credibility in certain circles of real high power, which really regards people because of their maybe origin. That's why you maybe asked at the beginning, how did I come into this environment? By birth, not by chance. Otherwise, I would not have been able to enter certain circles of power.
So, excuse me, are you a priest or are you part of this organization and that you're not connected to, you know, officially connected through ordination to it?
You see, when it comes down to the priestly affairs of the order, we don't discuss them in the open as with a normal priest. They are not discussed in the outside of the order in any way. We can say, though, that some of us are ordained, and both in the Catholic as well as in the Orthodox Church. And that if you want to really be a real Knights Templar, of course you have to have this priestly link, this consecration. And there is some knighthoods that don't require it, like the Knight of the Holy Sepulchre to certain levels, really. But most of the knighthoods, when you come to a certain level, you have to have this priestly lineage, this lineage that comes down from St. Peter to us in an episcopal consecration. And this is because we are treating sacred matter, so it's very holy. This is done usually within the secretive world of lodges, chapters, and whatsoever, because, of course, some of us in the ordinary life are not priests in any way. But most of us, let's say, are immediately recognized by the priest as being equal level. So, for example, when we go into the Vatican or we go into certain environments, the level that we have of familiarity with the clergy is different from an ordinary person because we are considered as clergy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
So, and also there is some obligations, like for example, for certain knighthoods of the Vatican, like for example, the Knight of the Holy Sepulchre in particular, or the Knight of St. Sylvester Pope, when you get in front of the Swiss guards, they are obliged to salute you militarily. If you are recognized as being a knight of those knighthoods. Mm-hmm. They have to immediately put themselves into position militarily because you might be a commander. And for that reason, especially, you have an immediate recognition also at that level, which is the military level. So there is, of course, in the knighthoods, two levels, the clergy level and the more military level, the soldier level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A mix of the both, which is a bit like the prior militants, which is like the priory of the military. And in that case, of course, our contacts are mostly with military chaplains. A lot of the ones who interact with this kind of orders are military chaplains in areas of war, in important churches around the world. I will say that by writing this book, the Pope Francis, the last Pope, the more traditional part of the Vatican is putting their foot down, saying we don't want any longer this state of affairs. So in order to get this kind of information, you have to have some allies. And all mm-hmm. of this is done within a very closed environment. And there is certain cardinals who are for it and certain ones who are against it. I mean, this is a war within the Vatican. No, it's not a joke. It's a war of two factions in which the main, well, like I described in Pope Francis, the last Pope, this book which I wrote, the main faction which is opposing Bergoglio and has at the moment more power in the Vatican is the gay lobby.
And we're going to come back to that. Mm. Well, let's save that dirt for a little bit later.
Sure.
We have. Okay, I think we've kind of lost him again.
No.
There you are. Come back, Leo. Come back.
Yeah. You are bringing me back with your.
Bringing you back. I'm drawing you in. You made a comment earlier about there's evil in Rome, and then you started talking, all right, let's just go here because I like to kind of follow a flow, and I guess we need to go here anyway. So you started talking about there's evil in Rome, and then you started talking about these two factions, and I know for me in reading your book and now in listening to you talk that there is a whole lot of stuff going on in Rome that I never heard about. And I went to Catholic school. I should know everything. I mean, is there that kind of power play going on in the Vatican? Okay.
Back at it.
Oop, there you are.
Here I am.
Okay, so did you hear my question?
The question, I stopped when you were talking about, I think I lost you when you were talking about maybe the good side of the Vatican, or the good side of the Illuminati.
So you had said that there was evil in the Vatican, and that there were two sides that were battling it out. Yes. And, I mean, I went to Catholic school, and I never heard of anything like this, but let me throw something out.
Maybe you can hear when you go to Catholic school, various orders of the Catholic Church, you see?
Well, I mean, you hear about the orders.
Yes. Now, in the orders of the Catholic Church, if you just study them, you know that one of the most important ones of them all is the Order of the Jesuits, the Company of Jesus, which headquarters are in Borgo Santo Spirito. Now, on the other side of the road, always on the same street, you have the headquarters of the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre. And you have also a specific area where all the Knights Templar Church used to be in Rome, which is instead the headquarters of the Knights of Malta. So, I mean, you have a very vast which is based maybe in Rome, but is known to those Catholics who are maybe more in tune with certain traditions, and maybe the majority of it are not. So,
when you start talking about these different sects of priests, I mean, I'm familiar, you know, by name with the Jesuits because they're supposed to be the more metaphysical, intellectual group. Where I went to school, it was a bunch of Franciscan priests. I mean, are their creeds, are their dictates and what they look to do really that different? Their political views?
In what sense, sorry, they're different from
You know, if you have, you know, what the Jesuits stand for, and then you have, like, the Franciscans or some
I mean, there is, and also the fact that Jesuits are the only ones who have a military approach. They are the ones in charge of the secret services of the Vatican. The Franciscans are not, but there is still within the Franciscans then certain orders also connected directly to the Franciscans, knighthood orders that work in a different way, and the Franciscans at the end have to always be loyal to the Jesuits because the Jesuits are the secret service of the Pope. They only respond to the Pope, and instead the Franciscans have to respond to their own father general, their own superior, you know. But the Jesuits in general, even if they have a superior which is called the Black Pope and so on, he has to respond mainly in his fourth vote to the Pope himself. That's it. So the interest of the order of the Jesuit is not the interest of Christianity. It's the interest of the Vatican, which is a very different kind of set of interests, more to do with the material nature and not the spiritual nature. The Franciscans are very much in tune with the spiritual nature. Sure, okay. In regards so to the Franciscans, and they will have to always be loyal to the Jesuits. In regards to other orders within the Catholic Church, they each one have their own specificity. Like the Salesians have a very strong link with the economic side of the Vatican, even if they did some damages in the last decades towards it. And then we have the Benedictines, who are more in charge with the actual knowledge of the Vatican, because they were the first monastic order to print the first book in the world, in Germany and then in Subiaco in Italy. So this puts the Benedictines in a very specific, very particular realm of knowledge, of work within the Vatican. The two popes that we had, first Ratzinger, called himself Pope Benedict, in line with the tradition of Saint Benedict. Pope Francis wants to be in line officially with the tradition of Saint Francis, but as I also explain in my book, he's also linked to Francesco Saverio, which was this important saint of the Jesuit tradition, more of an agent of Rome and of the Vatican. Can I hear something?
Yeah, I'm back.
So you
like God really has it out for us tonight.
Well, it seems really, it's not easy. But we have to try harder, because I think that if we get through at least certain concepts here from Italy, from where I am now, maybe your listeners will have an inside perspective that they will not have otherwise.
Well, and I completely agree, but I have to tell you, it wasn't you this time. My internet went completely down, and it's still down. And so now I just called into the show on my phone because I have no internet.
Well, you have to understand the Vatican is very powerful, and how do they exercise this power in the U.S. and maybe on you by blocking your internet line or, you know, anything? It's very easy for them because the Vatican, of course, have their agents within the structures of the NSA, within the structures that go deep into the realm of communication. So when you are dealing with a book like Pope Francis, The Last Pope, you shouldn't be surprised that there is a degree of sabotage. I mean, here you're really dealing with some very hot stuff.
Well, we like that. So now every time everything it gets weird, I'm going to go, ooh, it's the government. Let's talk a little bit about Pope Francis, because he's our new Pope.
Yes.
And since the book is about him,
it's about him, but without leaving aside Ratzinger, which still holds a very powerful position within the Vatican, hand in hand with that lobby which is opposing Bergoglio.
Well, okay, but my question is, or where I'd like to kind of venture into him, is you were talking about the different orders, and I
yes.
know that Pope Francis is a Jesuit.
Absolutely.
And from what I understand, he's the first Jesuit to ever become Pope. And
yes.
how does that play into where the church was and now where it's going to move to, because he is a Jesuit and will be going based on his dictates?
Well, the difference is this. I mean, mainly Ratzinger could have stayed in power, but the scandals didn't permit it. So let's say that at that point, the Jesuits were called in as exercising their security power and their veto against any other possible pope, because they said, of course, being in charge of the intelligence of the Vatican, their headquarters are in Spezia, Spain, which was the birthplace of Saint Ignazio. They have all the knowledge of all the scandals, of all the people, how they can blackmail them, and so on. Even if, as I show in my book, there is a lobby, the gay lobby with Cardinal Bertone, who is equally powerful security-wise and intelligence-wise, that's why they're still there fighting their way, the Jesuits are the ones who have to step in the emergency situation and to actually position one of them as a pope, because this has never happened in history. This happens a bit as in a reign of emergency. So it's like Ratzinger stays to a certain extent the real pope. The elections of Francis, as I also describe in my book, are not 100% regular, meaning that there is actually at the fifth votation a small error which actually doesn't make them regular. So let's say that to a certain extent the real Pope is still Ratzinger, but this Jesuit comes in as an emergency. It's like when you are bankrupt with a company and then you have to call in, you know, somebody that takes so in English, but you have these inspectors, these people that come in now to preside or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this kind of pope. He has to preside over the flock and over the scandals, trying to limit damage which was done before him. So he, to all effect, a pope like no other.
This insight into what is going on in the church, I mean, it sounds like the Jesuits are kind of like, you know, the military coming in and taking over and trying to right the wrongs. What I'm not sure is, because Leo made the comment earlier that the Jesuits were kind of on the dark side.
Yeah.
So if the dark side is taking over, or if the Jesuits are kind of on the dark side or the evil side, then how would having Pope Francis be in charge help anything?
No, actually, in the end, Pope Francis can't do much. And so it becomes a great big show. And I described in my book how Verbisky, this important writer and journalist in Argentina, has exposed Bergoglio for his ways in the 70s in favor of the dictatorship in Argentina. And this, of course, has lent him to have a lot of credibility within the conservative CIA circles, which were involved also with the P2 and the dictatorship in Argentina. So his rise to power, betraying two Jesuits in Argentina, because he actually got these two Jesuits arrested, and they were tortured for 6 months. These two arrests, two Jesuits, which I talk about in my book. I also show a document which demonstrates that Bergoglio actually knew about it. And the interesting thing about my book, I'm sure you agree, is that I also show a lot of documents to support as evidence of what I'm talking about. Because this is very important when you are actually talking about these kind of subjects to be very meticulous, you see, because I have the support of the Dominican Order for this book, for a specific reason. The Dominican Order said, Leo, if you write everything correctly, we can't do anything about it in the sense in front of the Pope. We only have to admit that these things are correct and that changes have to be made. But to, in order to have our protection and our approval, you have to be correct 100%. So everything in my book tends to be verified from more sources. And of course, there has to be a certain degree of certainty, because by doing this, I can then have the support of orders within the Catholic Church that actually want to have this change happening.
Well, let's back up. Okay, so Pope Francis came in to take over for Pope Benedict, who decided to just up and leave. I think everyone heard about, you know, the scandals that were going on, and he took responsibility for the scandals. But is there a deeper story that was happening that we didn't really hear about as to why he abdicated in the first place?
I think that if you have read the book, and I invite also my listeners to do the same, they will see that there was such a big amount of scandals that, I mean, even one of them would be enough, but they were just piling up day after day. And both the scandals in the world of the pedophilia, of the pedophilia priest and so on, and also in the economic side linked to the Vatican Bank, to the IOR, to the Vatican finances. These two things, and in the end, the fact that even Ratzinger himself is involved to a certain degree in pedophilia, has pushed him in the end out of the picture. Okay? I can't hear you. Now I'm back. I can hear the background.
Oh, that's because it's raining really hard and I've been turning my microphone off.
Okay.
So when we hear about the pedophilia with the individual priests in
basically church, what happened was there was a series of things that were coming out. The information also when it came out to his butler, known as the Crow. I don't know if you heard about the scandal in the U.S., but it was a big scandal, no? It created this scandal called Vati Leaks. A certain degree of information was leaked to the press that shouldn't have been leaked.
Let me ask this question. You know, we're talking about the pedophilia. How high up into the Vatican? I mean, did it go all the way up into the Vatican? Do we have the Pope and cardinals doing all kinds of stuff there?
Say that there is films done within the Vatican and outside of the Vatican, which demonstrate that cardinals, children, and the whole show. So, I mean, there is the actual evidence which is being deposited. I show in my book where it's been deposited, who are the witnesses. And actually, in the last few days, some other evidence has been coming out from another diocese in Taranto, Italy, and demonstrating that what I've been saying in the book is 100% correct, because there is apparently other videos surfacing of sexual acts done even inside churches. There is a very interesting...
No way!
Yes.
No way!
Sure, but you want to hear something more? I mean, now I'm going to tell
sure.
you something more.
Come on, I like this stuff.
One of these cardinals is called... 80s, he's a gay pedophilia guy. In Assange's WikiLeaks, he's known as Jessica. And he himself, with other... Here we are talking, Monsignor Camaldo is the head ceremonier of the Pope, the guy you see next to the Pope when he celebrates Mass, the guy who basically announced the Pope, you know, when he when he was elected Pope. You had those main ceremony. You hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. grand ceremony, I mean, how you say, the master of ceremonies. And basically, Monsignor Camaldo, one day, was invited two transsexuals. There was a little kid. They were basically having this gay orgy. They finished in the morning, and then they celebrated Mass in this little chapel, and then the guy went on to celebrate Mass with the Pope. Hello?
I mean, I just find that kind of hard to believe.
No, but the thing is, here it's not a question of being hard to believe. Here we're talking about things which have been deposited by the police.
Well, no, and I hear you, but, you know, in my good Catholic, or not-so-good Catholic mind, it's, you know, you think of the Pope and the cardinals as being beyond sin. You know, and not that gay is a sin to me, but in their minds, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's a lot of hypocrisy. I think that now in the age of communication and with the technology that we have, this hypocrisy will not stand the test of time for too long.
Well, I hear that.
Because, you see, there is now technical means whereby you can not only intercept, but you actually record very easily these people in their sexual acts of depravation, in whatever they're doing. And if you're not into the money side of things, which would be, of course, more easy because you can get to blackmail these people and get enormous sums of money for this information. But if you are honest, like most of my sources, and instead bring this information to the people, I think that Pope Francis will be pushed more and more to have to clean up. The problem is that he can't really clean up because, for example, Monsignor Camaldo was sent away by him, and then he was sent back in by the gay lobby coming through the other door and getting back into the Vatican a week later. So the power of the lobby within the Vatican, the gay lobby, is very big. It's so big that Cardinal Bertone, who stands on top of it, has a bigger residence than the Pope at the moment. He has a 700 square meters penthouse, while Bergoglio resides in a modest apartment of a couple hundred square meters.
But I thought that Catholics think homosexuality is a sin. So isn't that being really hypocritical against, their own basis of faith?
Well, listen, it's so hypocritical that it's beyond hypocritical. I mean, the last week in Italy, the last 10 days have been completely ridiculous because on one side you have this new scandal coming out, and on the other, the Vatican doesn't want to have the ambassador appointed by France because he's openly gay. Of course, the French, I don't know if they said it because they want to take the gimmick out of it, but they said he has all the right features to become the perfect ambassador. In any case, the Vatican doesn't want to have him as ambassador, and they have basically the whole of Vatican City full of gays. So, I mean, it's a question of hypocrisy here. We don't want to be condemning, and I say that also in my book, anybody for their specific sexual agenda, couldn't care less. But actually, the problem is here with being honest about things, so, being coherent, being honest. And I'm sure that most gay people who are listening to me now will agree that condemning people like they do, condemning the gay like they do in church, and then going with gay prostitutes in the night and doing cocaine, because I also talk about how much cocaine has been surfacing lately in the Vatican. And not once, but now there's been already three times that cocaine that was sent to the Vatican was taken by the police. So, I mean, we're talking here about really a city of debauchery, not of holiness.
Well, it sounds like the party is at the Vatican tonight.
Well, it's wild. It's wild. I tell you, it's apparently the wildness of this party. And also, I mean, a complete contrast with what Pope Francis is preaching outwards. And so Pope Francis can be regarded as a great actor. That's what he is. That's what also Verbisky says, the author I cited earlier. He's a great actor.
I have to bring this up. There is this TV series that I watched part of, but it was just too much, called Borgia, you know, about Pope Alexander and his family.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, not much has changed since then, probably. The difference is that at that time, you see, the power was of certain families. And it was strictly in the hands of these families, which, of course, were then linked to a pope that wasn't somebody that didn't used to have kids, but used to have kids. So, of course, he was even into incest, Pope Borgia. I mean, we are talking here about really, but the power that the Borgias had within the Vatican is incredible.
But I was kind of flabbergasted because the Pope had children, the Pope had a mistress, I mean, in the show, you know.
Sure, no, but they were,
and it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, you're supposed to be celibate. What part of celibate is all of this?
Well, you see, celibacy was decided only 1,000 years ago in the Christian tradition.
Oh, really?
It wasn't something that was around for 2,000 years. I mean, it was decided mainly because, especially in the Catholic Church, you have to not leave any inheritance outside of the Church. And by not getting them to marry, you didn't risk that. In the Orthodox tradition, instead, if you don't want to, of course, arrive to certain levels, you can get married, and but you will not be able to become bishop, for example.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So, I mean, it's like since this very strict policy was adopted, more and more of not letting really the priest being natural about their sexuality, of course, within a certain amount of time, then the church has been taken over totally by the gay lobby. Because the gay lobby finds it easy to take no power and still become out of the real nature. It's unacceptable for a true Christian to see somebody so great, you know? Because you're necessarily against the fact that homosexuality is considered a sin. But without going into that, because we don't want to take sides here, religiously speaking, at least I don't take sides, religiously speaking, in my book. I just say that real Christianity is definitely not portrayed today by the Catholic Church.
I hear that. I have to tell you, I had a friend who was in preschool, whatever you call it, preschool.
Well, seminary,
yeah, that's the word. And he was gay, and this is going to sound terrible, but his comment was, I had more sex there than any place else in my entire life. And I was like, really? But now we're having this conversation, and that sounds like it could have started there, but it just would continue on for the rest of your life, potentially.
Well, I don't care if they continue or they don't continue. The problem is that the Vatican at the moment...
Okay. ...with this. I mean, I feel like this information is so important to get out. And, you know, we're trying to get Leo back on the line to share it with all of you, because there's information in this book that I've never heard of. And we were talking about that Borgia show, and I was watching it kind of flabbergasted because it was stuff that I was never privy to. Well, let's see. Where do I want to go?
Let me know.
Well, I'm just trying to think about it here. So it sounds like inside the Vatican walls, you know, and there is so much politics going on. So in the election, here's a good question. In the election of the Pope, and I don't necessarily mean Pope Francis, but in the Pope in general, I mean, is it a power play? Is it a political thing of you get this group of popes on my side and you get, you know, and I'll get this group of popes and whoever can get the most popes, you know, or most votes will have the Pope be in charge? I mean, is it really that political?
Oh, no, it's even more political, really. because you haven't really mentioned the fact that there is a USA CIA department fully active in the Vatican, and they play also an important role. They were during the Cold War. They actually imposed their own pope in 1958 against the more traditionalist one, which was supposed to be Cardinal Siri. So, I mean, and then came out what became Papa Roncalli, followed by Papa Montini. Both of these popes were actually the first two Masons in the Catholic Church at that level of power, becoming popes, and now becoming even saints. So we have Papa Roncalli, a Freemason. But I mean, here we're talking about somebody who was also connected to the Rosicrucian tradition, because he was initiated also to that tradition in Istanbul during his time in Istanbul. There is evidence of his Masonic initiations for Masons who are, of course, have this kind of historical knowledge. So it's very interesting also to know that we have Freemasonry arriving so on top of the church. But Freemasonry has always been then connected with the Jesuitry through the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. So there is a long tradition of long links with the Freemasonry. You see that the Jesuits were an order which was kicked out of the Vatican for a period of time. They were actually kicked out of the Vatican between 1770-1772 all the way to 1814. They were considered illegal, irregular, banned from the Vatican. So, I mean, here now we have a pope of an order that was actually banned from different countries around the world, I think around 70 times. So I mean, the Jesuits are definitely a very particular
So what makes them be so particular or special that people count them out?
The mission of the Jesuits is both with Saint Ignace.
You know, every time you get to the juicy part, your voice drops out, Leo. And now, important words from our sponsors. No. Okay, so maybe we'll find out about the Jesuits and... Okay, we're going to try to...
Here we are.
There you are.
Yeah, it comes back in automatic. You know? I appear and I disappear. You have to evoke me.
Well, I just said in the chat room that I think I need a drink now. Come on. Maybe we could just drink some wine and it'll all be good.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that the Jesuits themselves don't really take a position within the lobby gay battle with the rest of humanity. They simply are acting in their duty is to act in that certain way. But their knowledge is superior to every other order in the Catholic Church because they have intelligence archives. They operate teaching the intelligence. I mean, there is schools in the U.S. Jesuits training people for gay. So you have the Jesuits.
I guess they got a lot of secrets because we're extracting them one secret at a time, and then you have to piece it together to weave it into something. Maybe. If Leo's there. Leo, come back, Leo. I'm giving it about 30 seconds. Yes, they... Oh, I'm not going to pay attention to the chat room. Anyway, I don't even know where to go with this. So, Joe, you know, when you get to editing... All right.
Yes, we are here.
Okay. All right, let me ask a different question. Hopefully we can get this question. You're talking about these sex scandals, the pedophilia,
yes,
the gay relations that are happening. Is that an overpowering part of what's happening in the Catholic Church, or is it just a splinter that's just really creating a wedge within the whole community?
Unfortunately, it seems like from the number of scandals we have,
It's actually over 50%. I mean, it's going way out of control. I mean, most scandals are covered up, and still there is.
Okay.
In doing, I mean, this is a daily occurrence now. So, I mean, we are talking about a church which needs to rediscuss their modality of celibacy. Because if celibacy is really bringing these kind of actions within the church, of course, this has to be changed. We have to remind that there is the possibility for certain priests to marry within the Catholic Church if they are connected with the Latin Rite. So they are considered a bit like the Orthodox priests. I hope that in the future this kind of practice can be expanded to all the rest of the Catholic hierarchy of priests, because it seems really against nature what is happening, and it's damaging the church enormously. On the other side, what's damaging the church is also the economic side, because if you have a certain amount of scandals, you have also a lot of money to pay out. And we can say that this money, together with also the money that was, let's say, not invested correctly and probably dissipated and spent erroneously by the various orders, has led the Vatican with billions of dollars of damage in their accounts. And though they are still very strong economically, they have to be very careful in the way they conduct their business.
Well, I'll bet. And you were talking a little bit about the different orders and the Masons, and how there was recent popes that were Masons. How much impact does the Vatican have on the world, and how much influence does the world, aka governments, have on the Vatican? What is that relationship like?
Well, I mean, most head of states are all members of the various knighthoods, and most members of intelligence services are members of the various knighthoods. And so basically they all have to, in the end, go to the Pope.
Everybody.
So it's like, and even in Orthodox Russia, they exist, for example, a priory of Order of the Holy Sepulchre, even if probably a minority respected to the Orthodox tradition, there is then their own knighthoods. But of course, there is now, as I describe in my book, this great conflict between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic on certain values. And that conflict has brought the war in Ukraine. Because this conflict in Ukraine is born, first of all, out of a certain war between the Catholic and the Orthodox faction. This war made out of many interests, but also out of the conscious worry of the Orthodox Church about the microchipping. And microchipping considered as the mark of the beast by the Orthodox Church, but not by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's a whole huge conversation, and we only have 4 minutes till we go to the break. So let me throw this in, and we're going to shift into a different area. If all of these groups ultimately end up reporting to the Pope, you know, from all different world governments, then you know, there's the whole idea of the New World Order and the Bilderbergs and whatever, the Trilateral Commission. But would you say that the head of all of this is the Pope? Is he the man behind the curtain?
Is the Jesuits together with the Zionists. And so to be, it's basically the Pope together with the rabbis of the Shenek in Israel. I mean, it's like... It's equal in power. So, I mean, they've been together in bed with each other since the 50s in this New World Order game, since the Second Vatican Council, which was inspired by the Zionists to make the acceptance of the Jews in a traditional Catholic world which wasn't accepting them. and at the same time open also the Catholic world towards becoming the universal church of all creeds and more tolerant. So I mean, the traditional Catholic world feels betrayed to a certain extent. And for this reason, maybe they have given me the opportunity to go so much in depth in certain information, because there is a war going on and these factions don't always feel like they are well represented.
Well, what about the Muslims? I mean, are they part of this or are they just kind of off to the side? And is that what creates so much tension between Jews and Catholics and Muslims, because they're not included in the little gang? Okay, well, I think we lost Leo again, so we're going to go.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
You're listening to IRN, the Inception Radio Network, Chicago, Illinois.
Are you looking for a cure for boredom? Never worry. IRN's new interactive website introduces a number of ways to pass time while you listen to your favorite show. Choose anything from the IRN chat lounge, the game lounge, video lounge, or the mood lounge. These fun, exciting features let you chat in real time with fellow listeners, view live skywatches, play daily posted online games, or pick a show based on topic. The choices are endless. Use your time wisely, keeping it all on IRN.
Who were the gods of antiquity? They've been described as the forces of nature, levels of consciousness, and aspects of our psyche. Stories that depict their incredible weapons, their flying machines, and their amazing adventures are characterized as being the product of our ancestors' fanciful imaginations. But what if the tales of the gods are true? Did the writers, chroniclers, and scribes of our distant past actually document a realistic view of our origin? My latest book, Man-Made, The Chronicles of Our Extraterrestrial Gods, looks at our most ancient legends. Learn of the torrid romances, elaborate plots, violent scandals, and conspiracies that played out in antiquity. Find out the role the gods played in the life and culture we have today. If you want to find out the truth of who we are and where we come from, order your copy of Man-Made today. For more information, go to www.manmadethechronicles.com. That's www.manmadethechronicles.com.
Hello, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Remember, you can take your Inception Radio shows on the go. Just download the Inception Radio Network app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android smartphones and access live shows, past shows, guest lineups, and much more. Just visit the iTunes Store or the Google Play Marketplace and download it today for free.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at SoulHealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationships, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit SoulHealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
You didn't forget what's coming up tonight, did you? Hi, Inception Radio Network listeners. This is Amanda. Never miss that interview you were looking forward to or the show on your favorite topic. Follow IRN on Twitter, I_R_N, and get reminders about the evening's live shows as well as fun and important updates throughout the week. That's I_R_N, and never miss a great show again.
We only have a couple of seconds before we have to get back to the show, and I want to tell you how you can jumpstart your intuition today. using my free 50-page introductory guide filled with simple, revolutionary, and proven techniques, you can ignite your intuition and tap into your inner wisdom all from the comfort of your own home. The Institute of Applied Energetics is the leader in online home study instruction for those interested in becoming a certified medical intuitive, intuitive counselor, or energy medicine practitioner. Now is the time to transform your life and take it to a completely new level. Discover who you are and how you work. Open the door to the world of intuition, health, and healing. You can jumpstart your intuition right away by going to www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and downloading our free guide. Get the opportunity of a lifetime and live the life you deserve. Download your free Jumpstart Your Intuition guide today at www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and begin living a life filled with passion and purpose.
Don't have a computer? Is your internet connection down? Don't worry. Use your trusty cell phone or landline and call into our listen line at 401-283-6700 to listen to the Inception Radio Network 24/7. Again, that call-in number is 401-283-6700. For the Inception Radio Network, I am MJ.
Go deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah guided imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insights and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com.
Hello, Inception Radio Network. Would you like your favorite show to be played again live on air? Well, now the choice is in your hands with IRN's live request portal, an easy way to request your favorite show with a simple click. IRN's live request portal now gives you exclusive access to all the shows. How easy is it? Simply type a show name or a guest name, click request, even write a dedication message, and that's it. Try it now. Simply visit InceptionRadioNetwork.com, click on the live request tab under the show menu. Now playing your favorite show is just a mouse click away.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Rita Louise, and thank you all for staying tuned to the second hour of the show. This hour is brought to you by the Institute of Applied Energetics. That's www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com. If you've been thinking about becoming a certified medical intuitive, intuitive counselor, or energy healer, all of our training programs are on sale right now. So check it out, www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com. If you've been listening to the show, which I'm sure if you've gotten to this point, you have been, we just really want to apologize for the bad internet that we're experiencing. But I think we have that resolved because we're doing this phone-to-phone thing versus dealing with internet. So we've been here talking with Leo Zagami about his book, Pope Francis, The Last Pope, Money, Masons, and Occultism in the Decline of the Catholic Church. And Leo, I want to shift gears, even though what you were talking about was so fascinating, we barely scratched the surface. But I wanted to spend some time talking about the whole idea of the prophecy. I mean, there is the, you know, you're talking about the Pope Francis being the last pope. Why do you say that? What brings that to the forefront?
Well, there has been then connected to this resignation of Ratzinger and the silent arrival of Jesuit on the Petrin ministry inside, you know, at the top of the hierarchy of the Vatican, we have a Jesuit. This has led to a certain amount of people connecting all this to the prophecies that were made by various, some accepted, some others not, because not all prophecies are accepted by the Catholic Church as being, you know, correct. But I have dedicated a whole chapter to the subject of the prophecies to show how well some of them really seem to match at the time of the two popes, the fact that there will be a time of great tribulation for the Church, and that this will eventually lead also to the destruction of Rome. And it's like also we were talking about in regards to Islam. Islam is part of the Vatican because there is also a number of cardinals that apparently have in secret embraced the Muslim faith. So this brings us to a scenario of apocalyptic proportions, of course. And I know that you are also probably familiar with the site of Gebre Tepere, the site that you've been talking about, I think, with some researcher last month, this archaeological site in Turkey.
Oh, Göbekli Tepe.
Yes, yes. And mm-hmm. Basically, this site has inspired the some people from the Vatican in constructing a new foundation for an eventual Vatican II in case Vatican I gets destroyed. Because now the great fear that the Vatican has is the terrorist attacks. And these are led by ISIS. By ISIS, of course, is a fabrication, a creation of the U.S. Together with Israel and the Emirates and of a certain lodge called the Ator Pentalpha Lodge, which I talk about in this book, and which the documentation has been brought together recently by a Mason called Joele Magaldi here in Italy. So we have arrived to the conclusion that the Vatican is leading the way to a universal creed because they want to destroy the divinity of even the Petrine ministry and the Pope to transform eventually then the Church in something completely different, in which they will, like they're already doing now, embracing all the other faiths equally, and become a sort of, you know, parliament of the religions. This is also something which is strongly wanted also by Israel. And as I said earlier, Israel is the main ally on the top of this new world order. The Zionist lobby is the main ally of the Jesuits and of the Pope. So this scenario brings us to a confrontation now with a certain fundamentalist Islam, which is of course manipulated and is not the real Islam, but in any case Islam is a religion which is easily manipulated by a new world order for making all this disaster scenario happen, you know, these terrorist attacks that might really bring the destruction of Rome in the near future. And so the question is Pope Francis really the last pope then of the prophecies, and that we are in front of these prophetic days that see the end of a certain church, which is in front of our eyes, corrupt, like it was prophesied also in the past by some of even the accepted visionaries of the church.
Do you think the upset that's going on in the Middle East is because there's real tensions going on in the Middle East, or do you think the church and these underground currents are actually spurring them on so that we can have the apocalypse play out for us so that they can utilize it as a power play for their own agenda?
Yes, we can say that there is a will by the fundamentalist factions in both Christianity, Judaism and Islam, the Abrahamic faiths, in wanting to accelerate the times for an end of times scenario. And by doing the tremendous acts that, for example, ISIS does every day, they seem to accelerate this scenario. The implementation of this scenario means that for the Muslim, the Mahdi will come, the helper of the Messiah, and this will lead also to the arrival of the Messiah, which of course is foreseen also by the Christians. So they're all pushing towards that direction, and the prophecies get put into place. You know, like, for example, we had the attack on John Paul II by Ali Akça, no? This Turkish gunman, and this attack kind of entered the prophecy that was made back in Fatima in 1917, and so this prophecy was used by the Church in a way at the end of the confrontation of the Cold War with the Soviet Union, and the third vision, which was sealed by Lucia under orders that they could only be open until 1960, apparently was never really revealed in the correct way. So even the Church is kind of putting aside those prophecies that really will show that they are at the end of days. So I will say that it was very significant when Ratzinger resigned, that we had this tremendous storm on the Vatican and this lightning striking on top of St. Peter. So you saw it. I also put it in my book, the picture.
Yeah, that's a great picture.
That great picture, which was made by a guy called Alessandro Di Meo, really caught the essence of this crisis and the fact that, you see, when you have this kind of powers at work, there is a certain degree of synchronicity amongst all the events, a divine synchronicity. You can say that you don't necessarily believe in a religion or another religion, but the fact is that these events are taking place. And I also show in my book that there is definitely, we are living in a prophetic moment, and all this pedophilia, all these scandals, and the fact that the Vatican tends to defend this gay lobby is really making the earth and the skies rebel to this scenario. God is not at all probably happy, no, in front of all this. And so we see really the decline of the Catholic Church in this end of time scenario as being full of interesting anecdotes and of stories, which I report in my book, Pope Francis, the Last Pope, which I think if you have read in detail also what I have put in this book is full of false prophets, of people like, for example, Father Maciel, who was the founder of the Legionaries of Christ, this guy who was, you know, portrayed as a great hero of the Catholic faith until 2010, with, in the end, even Benedict XVI had to call him a false prophet. This guy was a CIA agent, was an agent of the Jesuits, was a founder of this very influential Catholic group, which was very close also to Ronald Reagan, to certain conservative Republican circles in the U.S. And he was a pedophilia guy. He was even married. He his double life was full of the worst things. And still, the Legionaries of Christ are considered very influential. And there was this person, this Marian Glendon, which is a professor, imagine, of law at Harvard School, Harvard Law School. I mean, she's like an esteemed lend-hand professor. I mean, she's not like the last. And this Marian Glendon is probably now, in the era of Pope Francis, being called by Pope Francis amongst his closest collaborators, and she's probably now the representative for the CIA inside the Vatican, Marian Glendon. And I mean, it's incredible that somebody who was so close to Machiel and to the legionaries of Christ, like this Glendon, is now being called on by Pope Francis to be one of his closest collaborators. I am quite shocked of the fact that Pope Francis really, in the end, didn't deliver what many hoped for a minute he could have delivered. Even myself, I had a little bit of hope. But in the end, the hope, when I saw that certain things were not leading anywhere, I decided to really release this book, and I hope that people will understand that it's important, this book, to be understood by all the Catholics and non-Catholics because of the implications it has in the contemporary events in the world.
Hello? You know, years ago, in looking at some of the things that were coming out of, I'm going to say, faith-based religions, you know, especially the Catholic Church, you know, I often wondered if the Catholic Church, you know, instead of there being one person being the Antichrist, whether the Catholic Church was actually the Antichrist. And with everything that you're talking about, it seems like the Church is trying to manipulate people into something. I don't really understand what they're trying to manipulate people to do, okay? But if you take it back to...
Well, I mean, it's very easy to see what they're manipulating people to. They're manipulating people to simply...
send money?
Not to be, first of all, their values have been destroyed, you see, by a certain progressive liberal church brought corruption into the Catholic Church and led them astray. So basically, by diminishing those values, you are destroying also the Christian values. And the Catholic Church is, at the end of the day, the leading Christian belief. And a lot of those people which, you know, like the Baptists, the Evangelists, whatever, in the end, now, the last years, through the Second Vatican Council, they actually came back to be totally controlled and in line with the Catholic Church because they're in line with their Masonic masters. Most of them are also Freemasons. They're part of the great network of the New World Order, which is establishing this New World religion. So the Christian faiths are now more united than ever.
But the bottom line, Leo, is if you read... It takes it totally away from Jesus's teachings. I mean, I thought religion faith.
Yeah, but the Christianity is not the teachings of any church that we have nowadays representing.
So what do they want? I mean, if they other than wanting the power, but the power for what? What do they get? What's the end game with them?
I mean, the game is that they have they are in charge of their lives. They have all the companies, everything that is everything that we drink, we eat, it passes through their system. It's part of the system, when you are in the end one world with a religion which will be the same for everybody at one point, because first of all they will trigger, and like they're doing now, this this Islamic thing to create the chaos, to create the distraction, this confrontation. But in the end, the plan is to really have one world religion, and one world religion that they can easily manipulate for the matters of faith. If you are believing in any faith, they will have the answer for you. That's why the Vatican is increasing, and as I showed in my book, the fact that Pope Francis has guested an imam and also a Jewish leader and in the all praying together inside the Vatican, and the imam was even cursing the infidels inside the Vatican, which means infidels, non-Muslims. So, I mean, we have arrived to a level now which is just religion is demonstrating what it really is. It's organized crime for these Illuminati. And that is so weird. And this is the sad truth of it all.
Let's just call it like it is, Leo.
Yeah, I mean, from the ancient times, it's an organized way to manipulate the masses. So,
But wouldn't that be like being the Antichrist? Because this is what Christ wanted, and so if you're anti-Christ, then wouldn't you go against everything that Christ wanted, which it sounds like the Catholic Church is doing?
First of all, what Christ really wanted, probably the last remains of his truth were destroyed with the Council of Nicaea established the Christian religion as the religion of the Roman Empire. The moment the Christian religion was established as the religion of the Roman Empire, it wasn't anymore the Christian faith. It was the Roman Empire version of it, which is for the interest of the Roman Empire, still is the interest of the Roman Empire, because it became the interest of the sacred Roman Empire, and from there it became the interest of the 1776 foundation of the U.S., which was inspired by these people secretly in their lodges, which are, of course, loyal to the Vatican. And then, in the end, we have an illusion of democracy, but everything leads back, of course, to the Vatican and also to their cousins, the Zionists, the Jews, which have worked together with them in the crafting of this new world order. Of course, in the last few centuries, we have moments in which there was this contrast between the Catholic and the Jewish factions, but gradually, from a century and a half, of course, we had the episode of the terrible of Hitler and Nazism, but that was instrumental after for obtaining the state of Israel. So things were not done just out of like this. They were done meticulously. In fact, in my next books, in the Illuminati trilogy, The Confession of an Illuminati, which the first volume is published in January 2017, you will really see how the whole system works. So I'm.
Well, and you are coming, and you are coming back on when that book comes out, right?
on your cell phone,
so that we have a good connection.
Well, I hope that even my internet connection by then will be more decent. I also, because I never had, I made a lot of shows, I never had this problem before, but today we are really touching on a subject which is very delicate. And of course, when it comes down to the Catholic Church, there is a lot of people which really don't want this information to go out, because it shows the level of manipulations they're subject to, no? Because
Let me ask you this question. So you've talked about the Jews, you've talked about the Muslims, you've talked about Christian faiths like the Baptists and the Methodists and whatever. But what about like the Buddhists and the Hindu people, or the people that believe in more of an indigenous?
Very easy. An answer which is very easy, and an answer which is going to be very technological.
You're going to eliminate all of them?
No, it's very technological. You have to just put Pope Francis, and then in Google, in the search engine, you put Pope Francis in his last visit to Ceylon, Sri Lanka, and you put in interreligious dialogue meeting, and you see Pope Francis sitting down with the symbols of all the religions behind him in a super gathering, which was organized, of course, in the other end of the world, in the remote island of Ceylon, Sri Lanka. I've been there when I was very young. It's an island, it's a nation which is prevalently Buddhist, but also has an Hindu element, which caused also we had a lot of problems for many years. But then we had also, as you know, the terrible, which was the earthquake, and then the tsunami that hit Ceylon, Sri Lanka. And then the Pope went for this visit when he went to Asia, and there, in the middle of this visit, was organized this gathering. Now, this gathering was organized with the representatives of all the religions, including, of course, the Buddhists, the Hindus, everybody, the Sikhs, they are all, and it's very incredible because you can actually see this from these pictures made of Pope Francis, the fact that there is no cross behind him. There is actually the symbols of all the religions in big, behind him. And you see how the future parliament of religion will be probably set up. But it's already in existence. The thing is that people haven't really given to the media much important, this event. In fact, I probably you haven't even heard about it. Did you ever heard about it?
No.
That's why I'm telling you. Just you can go and find it very easily on the internet.
Well, actually, I'm looking at pictures that I just looked it up, and it came right up. So are they trying to strong-arm individuals or groups from these other philosophical traditions to join in with the Pope?
But they're already all joined.
Oh.
There is no trying.
Oh, well, that's scary. Now, I have to tell you, you know, that Pope Francis does look kind, you know, and he seems nice. I mean, you've seen the Star Wars movies. Are you familiar with the Star Wars movies?
Sure.
You know, with Luke and Darth Vader, you know, and I mean, I have to say that Pope Benedict kind of looked like the Emperor, you know, it was kind of scary. So I think that, you know, you know, and I think that might have been why they had to get rid of him, because they kept, you know, putting pictures on the internet of him and the Emperor. You know, anyway,
moving along. the thing is that Ratzinger, at one point before his sudden resignation, was found in a car at 2 o'clock at night with a young lover. The car broke down. It was a BMW. They have a special alarm system for cars that are in the Vatican, called the alarm system for emergency. So they went and picked him up, and they found him with this young guy. So there was a certain degree of embarrassment that led to him having to resign. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was like the one last drop that led to the resignation was that he was found in a car with a young boy.
I have to ask this question, and this question is for my mom, okay? Because my mom loved Pope John Paul. I mean, she just thought he was the best thing than from sliced bread. Okay. Was he involved in all of this too? And is there all of this dirt that he was in the middle of? All of this scandal?
Well, I mean, I just show in my book a picture of an emblematic picture, I would say, of Pope John Paul II together with the biggest pedophile in history, which is Jimmy Savile, the BBC DJ. But maybe many people have heard about his scandals in the last couple of years after his death, unfortunately. He was a knight of the Queen of England, but he was also a Catholic knight, and knighted by John Paul II. And the terrible thing is that because of a knighthood given by John Paul II, he was given access to Catholic hospitals where he could have access to his little kids and pedophilia. And he even had the sexual acts on corpses and picked up from those corpses eyes and used them as to make a ring. This is Jimmy Savile. I mean, everybody knows in England about Jimmy Savile's scandal.
Yeah, not so much here.
Well, he was the biggest BBC DJ because he was the one who presented the Top of the Pops, the ultimate show for the music, and for many years he was the top DJ. All that era in which we had the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, then it went into the 70s and 80s, he was always there with this funny hairdo, and everybody thought he was simply an eccentric character. And after his death, instead, it came out the sad truth that he had basically raped hundreds of victims in these hospitals where he had access because of his position. Because he was doing a lot of philanthropy because he wanted to have access to that. And, of course, he was then also supported by the pedophilia, gay lobby, but also that there is very strong in the UK. And the scandals are coming out also on that side for the last few months, connected with the Jimmy Savile, that involved all the conservatives, right up to the collaborators of Margaret Thatcher at the time, and even more recently. So we have really a situation in England recently, I think as recent as 10 days ago, they condemned for pedophilia the guy who, from the minister who was in charge of the pedophilia investigations. He was actually a pedophilia. I mean the UK
The
UK is pretty screwed up when it comes down to that. And so it's like either you're UK or it's either the Vatican. You have a scandal a day. You just need to Google it every day and you will find it.
Find something new, huh?
Pope John Paul II, to say a last thing, was a guy who had a lot of skeletons in the closet. And not only the one when it came down to the... To the fact that he also covered and wanted people like Father Machel, this big pedophilia guy of the Legionaries of Christ, or even the boss, the founder of the Opus Dei, he glorified these people, and these people were crooks, these people were pedophilia, these people were, involved with satanic acts. So, I say in my book, we should really question the newly recently sainted Pope John Paul II, even if that will probably let your mother very disappointed.
I have my fingers in her ear, so she can't hear any of this.
I'm sorry with her, but here, this is an exercise, especially Catholics see my books are very popular in the Vatican. You might think they're not. Instead, they're very popular. Because people in the Vatican, the right people, appreciate this honesty of intentions, which is to clean up the church of their sins. And so let's put them out in the open. We are in the year 2015. We have all this great technology. And even if you have the extraterritorial rights that are given, afforded to the Vatican City that don't permit further investigations in some cases that could lead to criminal convictions, you at least expose them. That's my point in this whole thing.
Do you think it is because of all of this scandal and the church's, and I'm going to say power grab, that will actually bring the church down?
It's already going down every day. It's like, they have put a great actor, like Verbisky said, that is saving the situation. It's a great actor, as I said, is Pope Francis. Pope Benedict continues behind the scene, giving orders, because he still has a lot of people who are loyal to him. The church is considered in decline overall. And then we have the fact that a religion like Islam is being methodically used to jeopardize even the stability of the European continent, because here we are talking about, like I describe in my book, the daily invasion of Muslims that we have on the coast of Italy. In the last 2 days, we have had 10,000 Muslims arriving on the coast of Italy. 10,000, last 2 days. And the U.S. thinks that we can go on like this. Italy is collapsing. We have a Muslim invasion on the place. And it's not like they are Pacific, but we know very well that ISIS has cells inside those ships that are sent with all these desperados that arrive here every day. There is, of course, terrorist cells that are being planted. ISIS is now in control of Libya. Derna is the place where all these ships are leaving full of immigrants every day. They make money with immigrants. Let me tell you that 2 days ago, an Italian military ship, like small ship, not I think it was actually Guardia Costiera, which is like the naval coast guard, was shot at by ISIS people who just wanted to take back the ship that they used to send out these immigrants until they reach extraterritorial waters, and then they actually want even the ship back. They don't leave it into the hands of the Italian authorities. When they bring the immigrants into the ship, they want the ship back, and they shoot on the Italian authorities. We are arriving to insanity here. Insanity means that ISIS is at basically 50 kilometers from Italian territory now. And people in America don't realize that. But the island, there is an island which is like 50 kilometers from Libya. I mean, we are close to these areas. They have invaded North Africa now. I mean, the next step is arriving in Rome. So the conquest of Rome is an important chapter of my book, The Pope Francis, the Last Pope, where I really talk about the real problem here. Because the Vatican now, especially the people who are in the security business of the Vatican, not the people inside the Vatican, those are corrupted and are involved even with ISIS. Actually, some of Jesuit, there's one Jesuit who is probably involved even with the recruiting and working with ISIS, and this guy has been off the Jesuit map for 2 years, but never given for dead. He disappeared in Syria, and so he might even be training them. So, I mean, the thing is that we have had the U.S. destroying Gaddafi, who gave stability to the area. They have destroyed the Tunisian a dictator. They destroyed all the dictators thinking that basically they were not thinking, they were just planning then the seeds, the planting later, the seeds of ISIS, and so all this leads to a terrible turmoil. All this leads to a very good for Israel, because of course once they are surrounded by ISIS, they can play the ultimate card of Armageddon, and that's it, and we all gonna end up with the Armageddon scenario.
So is that kind of the end game, so that they can
move
through that scenario?
This is the end game. There is no turning back after this. I mean, this is the end game. For 2020, the establishment of the New World Order police state between 2020 and 2025 will be in full effect. So we are in front of unprecedented.
So there's actually a date tied to that, of when they're going to try to roll this whole thing in?
Yes, between 2019 and 2020, the scenario of the New World Order and the establishment, the announcement, and possibly also the fact that even the church will become a universal church without a leader initially, if not probably an antichrist leader figure. We are talking here about the end of time scenario, which I prophesize. It's not a joke. I mean, what I show in my book with all the documentation is simply to put a method in which you know, because in America you have all these screaming teachers, preachers, people that prophesize every day. Say, oh, the Antichrist is coming, oh, it's the end of the world, oh, it's this and that. But you have to prove it. I don't talk rubbish in my book. I talk with the evidence in my hands and show this is happening tomorrow, this is happening the day after, and this is the documents that we have in regards to this and that. An important document that surfaced was this document from the Rockefeller Foundation regarding various future scenario planning. There is all this scenario a figure which is said to be the Mahdi of the Muslims. This Mahdi of the Muslims is not living in the Middle East. He is living in the U.S., protected by the CIA and 50 of his Muslim bodyguards. Is living in Pennsylvania, and he's called Fethullah Gulen. This guy, who was also went to visit John Paul II on February 9, 1998, is the most influential Muslim leader and works together hand in hand also with the CIA. He is in charge of a most influential Muslim movement, which officially is a moderate Muslim. The interesting thing about this Turkish Muslim scholar Fethullah Gulen is that his book is that's published in English. The book basically, and you know who wrote the foreword? The Jesuit Father Thomas Michel. Jesuit Father Thomas Michel. I mean, see, this is the interesting thing, is that the Jesuits are, and we don't really know this in the West so much, the Jesuits are active in Islam in a way like people don't even imagine. Like, for example, Thomas Michel can be found in a Muslim fundamentalist website answering to their viewers. And at the same time, Gulen, as I said, author of over 60 books, now based out of the USA, he basically is, according to top Turkish intelligence official Nuri Gündes, a CIA front now with this Islamic group. But the interesting thing is that now Erdogan entered in war with him. So, as I say in my, writing my book, there is an international, he's basically a criminal now. There is a court that issued a terrorist warning for him and his group. And he is still residing in the U.S., protected by the U.S. And he's a friend of Hillary Clinton. Now, he's very much a friend of Hillary Clinton and of Bill Clinton. Yeah, Bill Clinton talked very well about him. So, where do we want to get here? Because, I mean, Hillary Clinton apparently also has this gay affair with the cousin of Osama bin Laden, niece, whatever her name is, Uma, his helper, no? Her helper of Hillary Clinton. Then, of course, all this war, this ISIS, is all to lead to a way for Jeb Bush to arrive to the presidency of the USA. This is like the essence of it. Why? Because Jeb Bush is a Knight of Columbus. Jeb Bush is a Catholic. Jeb Bush is also brother of George W. and father that are in the Skull and Bones. Jeb Bush is the link between the Illuminati, the U.S. Illuminati, and the Vatican, and the Knights of Columbus that sit with their grandmaster at the right at the center of power in the Vatican Bank. So, I mean, this should give you an interesting description also for your listeners, which actually relates to their own lives, because maybe they think about all this Vladimir stuff as being so far away. No, my friends, it's actually in front of your door the next election, because you're going to get Jeb Bush as president, and that's it. Hillary Clinton is a pawn in their hands, and she's working, of course, she has to do her show. But, I mean, we're talking about Hillary Clinton, as I said, being no better than Jeb Bush, because in any case, they are two faces of the same medallion. But Jeb Bush, of course, is the one that will become then the winner of this context in the end. So it's a nice show, because then, you know, the great American democracy, it's always going backwards and forwards between the usual two names. But it is interesting that the Pope will have one of his most loyal knights with Jeb Bush inside the White House.
But in everything that you're saying, it sounds like this faction, this whole group, is setting up their own demise. They are moving the chess pieces around the board so that they can defeat the king, which seems counterproductive.
What do you mean, their own demise? What would be their own demise?
Well, I mean, you were mentioning about, you know, they have this collaboration with the Muslims going on, but the Muslims are invading Europe and in Italy.
No, but the Muslims, they are invading, and they let the Muslims invade Europe because it's in their interest. I mean, secretly, there is already part of the Vatican which is either Muslim or loyal to their creed. I mean, the Muslim religion is simply a tool of the New World Order. Whatever goes in their hands is the interest, ultimately, is to manipulate the masses. They don't care if they manipulate it with the Bible or the Quran. Whatever is trendy, whatever is fashionable at the moment, if you want to say like this. I mean, until the 70s, Islamic fundamentalism didn't exist. It was rehashed by old texts of Ashani Sabah, the old man of the mountain, the Ismaili sect, and all this rubbish by the CIA, who were kind of like in their mind control departments, quite keen on this figure of the man of the mountain, this Ashani Sabah. Also because it was fashionable, people like William Barrow, Brian Geisen, we're talking here about culture in the intelligence, and led to the creation of Osama bin Laden, which was the old man of the mountain in a new vest, but he was a member of one of their lodges. I mean, the Muslims are completely under the control of this scenario. Here it's not about invading, it's about creating chaos, destroying Europe as it is now, and placing an even bigger police state, because Europe, of course, course, now leads to this Muslim invasion until they will have another couple of 9/11s in Europe, probably even a nuclear bomb exploding. At that point, they close down all the frontiers, and then from 2019, to get into the European Union, you will have to be microchipped. So there is like borders being issued that will not be passed by anybody if you don't have a microchip, and this microchip, of course, to enter the European Union will be obligatory the moment you have the threat of Islam and of the terrorists so hard. But it has to be growing, this threat, you know, it has to be fed.
Well, and it sounds like in the U.S. they are going to use healthcare and healthcare reform to get people to have to get the microchip. You know, so
yes, that's something that I have written about in this book, and all the various options that you have in the U.S. system in regards to the microchip, I have written in this book. But I'm saying in Europe instead, probably it's much more easier to link it with this immigration thing, because we have here free care, free healthcare and stuff. It's a different system, other system. So it is definitely interesting that the Americans haven't understood that the danger of what is happening here in Europe will definitely then arrive once again to their doorstep, because you see, but it is piloted by their intelligence services. I mean, the CIA is completely in bed, like the Mossad or other intelligence agencies, with the ISIS creation. Al-Baghdadi was a guy who was actually responsible during the period in between until 2004, when he was in prison. You know what was the role of al-Baghdadi? Al-Baghdadi was the man in charge of the whole prison as a prison inmate on behalf of the Americans. If the Americans had a problem in the prison system in Iraq, they would call al-Baghdadi to fix it. So al-Baghdadi is the man of the U.S. For that reason, he was initiated in 2009 in the Upper Pent Alpha Lodge. I mean, it's not like by chance. So Osama bin Laden, Eden, you know, it was Zebrinsky who initiated him in Afghanistan. He had to, of course, his job was to front the Soviet Union and then create this Islamic fundamentalist Al-Qaeda rubbish, which became a great tool. The ultimate, unfortunately, the result of all this is always to sell weapons. So the military-industrial complex of Eisenhower is ultimately the one that always makes things work well in their, you know, in their business, line of business. So the military-industrial complex is mainly certain lodges. There is the Free Eyes Lodge, where David Rockefeller is worship of master. You have also people like Dick Cheney in other lodges. I think he's also, Dick Cheney is also inside the Free Eyes. But, I mean, there is the Free Eyes, there is the Upper Pent Alpha, there is many other lodges that are influential within the military-industrial complex. But the Upper Pent Alpha is a specific lodge which was born when it came to this Islamic fundamentalism, taking a new, becoming really the opener of this end of time scenario with the 9/11, you know. From there on, their motto has always been the motto of blood and revenge. That is the motto of the Upper Pent Alpha. And Bushes are inside the Upper Pent Alpha. So, all the.
Hey, Leo?
Yes.
Leo? We have a question in the chat room, and it's from Neutron. And he wanted to know, has anyone from the Vatican ever been invited to Bohemian Grove?
Sure, but they don't really like it so much. The Vatican, the Bohemian Grove is something that the Opus Dei dislikes very much inside the Vatican walls. They find it a bit like a competition. certain things that are done by the American Illuminati, including the Bohemian Grove, which is of course born out of the American Illuminati tradition. We see that from the symbol of the horn, no? Which is the classic symbol of the Illuminati order of Aeschaft that he uses in his Merovingian class of degrees, and then it was replicated in this Bohemian Grove. The Bohemian Grove is predominantly is addressed to the Republicans, but also the husband of the Queen of England went to the Bohemian Grove, for example. And from time to time, Catholics have been inside the Bohemian Grove, but no clergy that I know has ever been inside the Bohemian Grove. Though, I mean, it might be possible because they have the same taste in little boys, and maybe the Bohemian Grove are a little bit more traditional in their homosexual encounters. I don't know. I mean, it seems like there is a lot of that going on within their annual meetings. I hope that gives you an answer.
I just think that the whole thing is crazy. Will people wake up? Is it possible that people will wake up to realize that, you know, they have this belief that they are serving God by following the rules that come out of church or that come out of government or, you know, wherever, you know, the power is directing? Will people ever wake up and realize that what they see and what they've been told is not really the truth?
Well, you see, I mean, this power is really, when it comes to the Bohemian Grove, for example, you have Kissinger, no? And Kissinger wrote this book, which is called World Order, which came out last year, very interesting, in the way, you know, they manipulate people, and of course, I'm sure Kissinger could have told us much more. There was a time in which Ratzinger wanted to even take Kissinger as his personal advisor to demonstrate what kind of links there are between the American Illuminati like Kissinger, and who is also, by the way, in the Free Eyes Lodge. So, I mean, most key members of the Free Eyes Lodge are present on top of the Bohemian Grove, and they actually manipulate the Bohemian Grove even more. I would say that there is no way that the people can grasp the hypocrisy of these powers on top, because the way of reasoning is completely different from us. And I think that reading Kissinger's book last year made me understand even more that, because really he's quite blatant, quite open about this level of manipulation within his own book.
Again, I mean, what you're talking about, I find shocking, interesting, compelling, and so behind the scenes. You know, you hear these stories. You hear stories of, like, Bohemian Grove, and there's this part of you that goes, that can't be true. You know, somebody's just making this up. And to find out that it is going, but if to find out that it's going even deeper than, you know, these groups that they're talking about, all the way up through the church to the Pope, it makes it take even a deeper level.
Well, sure. Also because, for example, the Bohemian Grove comes from the tradition of the Illuminati, of course, and is quite recent. It was born 120 years ago, maybe more, I think, 130, whatever. But in any case, the Bohemian Grove, Bohemian Club, before, is a recent creation. These pagan cults, which also have these satanic elements, because they are satanic, are in the Vatican for hundreds of years. I mean, secret societies that go back in time in the Vatican that we don't know anything about, mysterious secret societies that protect the pedophile priest, exist since the 15th century in the Vatican. This is, you know, quite incredible that there is even a secret society dedicated to the pedophile priest inside the Vatican. But also the fact that, I mean, it's quite incredible, I think. And the historians have actually written about it, this secret society. It's not something, okay, just, but the fact that the secret society then have links with the Catholic world and the perversity, for example, of the Boston scandals of the Catholic Church. There is a direct link in between. And then they have a direct link with the NAMLA, the boy, the lovers of boys and the little boys lovers association, whatever, of pedophilia in the U.S. And that the fact that they exchange little boys, they practice crazy stuff. I mean, there is, for example, been an investigation a couple of years ago that has led the police to find out that the Vatican was basically placing fake, let's say, ambulances in front of this train station, which is the main train station in Rome.
Hey, Leo.
Poor kids. Huh? Yes?
I just looked at the clock and our time is up.
The last thing I can say about the thing, these ambulances were used to pick up Romanian kids and bring them directly into the Vatican. So just to let you know how it all ends up. It ends up in a Vatican affair, which is really, it's a scandal that Jesus Christ will be appalled by. And if he ever came back, he will have to come back with the AK-47 and probably bring them down to their knees. I mean, it's like in the Vatican, the ultimate prophecies that they are fearing is that the priests themselves will be slaughtered by the real believers once this truth comes out. That is the victory against the unbelievers. But the problem is that the Muslims will probably, like ISIS, like to manipulate in their favor this kind of thing.
All right. But Leo, the music is going to come up, and I'm not going to get to say goodbye.
Well, okay. Pope Francis, the last pope, is my book, CCC Publishing. My publisher, I want to thank Brad Olson in San Francisco and invite you to buy this book, which is my first book in the English language. There's another 4 to come, and I hope that we will see each other soon, speak to each other in other shows in the future.
Okay, sounds good. All right, bye, Leo.
All the best, Leo. Thank you very much.
Bye, Leo.
Bye.
That's Leo Zagami. His book is Pope Francis, The Last Pope. Next week, we have Sasha and John at Lesson coming on talking about the mystery of...
Join host Dr. Rita Louise each week at this time for Just Energy Radio.